The very latest from our local ag industry. The Farming Show with Dylan Honkoop is next on KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM and KGMI.com.
A sure sign of spring is the arrival of Wilson's Furniture yearly patio furniture shipments, along with the problem of where they're going to put everything. And that means big savings of up to 50% are starting to sprout at Wilson's Furniture. You'll find living room, dining, bedroom furniture all marked down and ready for delivery. Are you ready for the annual college basketball tournament craziness? Catch all the action in a comfy lane recliner, the best seat in the house, starting at $5.99. Looking for a better night's sleep? Find it at Wilson's with a top-quality queen-size mattress for only $6.99. If your patio furniture was blown into your neighbor's yard during that last windstorm, just leave it there and come check out the huge selection that you'll find only at Wilson's. And come enjoy some crazy early bird pricing. You'll love what you find at Wilson's during their early spring fever sale event going on now. Wilson's Furniture opens 7 days a week on Pacific Highway between Bellingham and Ferndale.
Whether you're exploring Linden, walking the trails at Whatcom Falls, or grabbing coffee between classes on Western's campus, free local news is now at your fingertips. Go directly to MyBellinghamNow.com or download the new My Bellingham Now app. MyBellinghamNow.com and the new My Bellingham Now app. Hyper-local community and county news. 100% free and no subscription ever. MyBellinghamNow.com or the new My Bellingham Now app. Available from the App Store or Google Play. Stay informed. Stay connected. Stay local. MyBellinghamNow.com.
KGMI connects with Joe Tien.
I grow a lot of vegetables, and I've tried numerous ways to control aphids. The only thing that I've found that works is a systemic treatment.
Okay.
And every fiber of that plant is treated.
Join us each weekday at 4 p.m. for KGMI Connects.
I don't think that racism is in every fiber of our society.
On KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM, and MyBellinghamNow.com.
Family farming in crisis in Washington State. I'm focusing on this more and more in the advocacy work that I do with Save Family Farming, Whatcom Family Farmers here locally, and so many pressures. You know, we've been talking about family farms that are just can't make it anymore. They're going out of business, and lots of different reasons, factors, facets to what is causing that to occur. Family farms that just can't make it anymore. Get big or get out. And even the big guys are struggling here in this state. Of course, you know from listening to this program that one of the big pressures is labor and the cost of doing business. Welcome to the Farming Show this morning. I'm Dylan Honkoop here on KGMI. Glad to have you with us on your Saturday morning to get caught up on farming issues here on the Farming Show. As we do, labor, one of the big issues, and you know, there are other things, just the access to people. And, you know, having enough people to get the work done is one of the challenges. But then, you know, pay is already quite high. Minimum wage is high here. The AWER now, which is in some ways a de facto even higher minimum wage, not just for guest workers that we've talked about here on this program, but really for a lot of workers in particularly ag heavy areas of the state, in Eastern Washington in particular, that's almost $20 an hour. Now, and you know, folks have viewed that as a win for workers, but it's a burden for farmers. And then the issue that I want to tackle and get back to that we've talked a lot about here on this program is overtime and the new restriction that Washington has placed on workers and farms, saying that workers cannot work over 40 hours a week. That's where the threshold is down to now here in Washington. Agricultural workers cannot work more than 40 hours a week without being paid time and a half, which is something that many farms cannot afford. So it's resulting in fewer hours for farm workers. This is the phenomenon. This is what has been happening. And this is one thing that's pushing, you know, we talked with April Clayton of up in Arondo. That's what is one of the big factors that forced them out of business as a small family organic orchard. And the story is repeated far too often. Well, there have been attempts for relief for this, and there are some encouraging signs, I'm happy to report. Granted, not anything close to what we would like to see. But joining me right now on the program is the state senator, and it's an honor to have him with us here, the state senator who championed what has been the biggest potential opportunity for relief, not only for farms and farmers, but for farm workers who are being hurt by this, like we just talked about. State Senator Curtis King of the 13th District, he was the prime sponsor of this bill that we've talked a lot about. To bring seasonality, as it's called, a set time where things are busier on the farm. A farm could choose the time frame that this would occur for 12 weeks when workers would not be subject to that restriction and would be allowed to pick up more hours and make more money without having, you know, the farm be penalized for that with higher wages even yet than they're already paying. Senator King, thanks for being here. This plan now, it got two hearings, which was unusual last year and this year. People still talking about this idea, even though technically your bill is dead. How are you feeling about this issue now after the battles that have really been fought over this? And from some perspectives, to no avail, even though I think there are signs for hope. What's your mindset now on this important issue?
Well, thank you for having me on. It's an honor to be with you this morning. So, you know, there were signs. I would tell you that the hearing, I asked the chair, because I'm the ranking member on Labor and Commerce, and I asked the chair to hear the bill again. She said, yes, I'll hear the bill, but I'm not moving it. Hmm. I mean, that was her commitment. So we did hear the bill, and we had a very nice young lady come that spoke to us when we had the hearing, and in tears told us about them closing their farm, shutting it down, and that the number of farm workers that had been with them, I think, for generations, that they are going to have to let go, that will no longer be working there. And the tragedy of that, because they were basically families. They had been with them so long, they felt like they were part of their family. But we've created this system that small farms are just going out of business because of the burden that we've put on them. And overtime is absolutely one of the biggest. We've tried to get seasonality in. We did it at a level where it was 12 weeks, 50 hours a week before you had to pay overtime. And that's too big a burden. Although I would tell you, I believe every other state that has ag overtime has a seasonality. Yep. New York is 60 hours, I believe. Oh, I know it's 60 hours, and I believe it's for 15 weeks. We tried to just get something, you know, in the system, and they won't even consider that. Now, after they heard this young lady, then as you say, Senator Kaiser started to think about that we're losing these farms. I believe we lost 728 family farms last year, and we're going to be that many or more this year. I can almost guarantee you that. And she says, well, we can't, I don't want to lose our family farms. And so Senator Saldana, who in my opinion is the prime instigator of the ag overtime along with everybody else, came up with this. Well, we're gonna put forth $250,000. If you meet this criteria, the farm can apply for part of that, up to $20,000, to help pay for overtime. Well, $250,000 is like 14 farmers, family farms that could apply for this fund if you meet the criteria. I mean, it's like a drop in the bucket is all it is to try and say, oh, look at what we tried to do. And I mean, the ramifications of this ag overtime is just phenomenal. I mean, so we had a bill, again, Senator Saldana brought up a bill about we need to collect data on the H-2A workers. And when she spoke to it on the floor, and it's several $100,000 to collect this data, and ESD said, okay, well, we'll collect the data, but we don't need it. We don't want it. We can't use it. So who's going to use it? Nobody could tell me. But she said, oh, we need this data so we can see what's happening out there. We need to understand. One of the things she said on the floor was we need to understand why there aren't more hours for our farm workers. And that just sent me over the edge. And when it was my turn to talk, I said, we all know why the hours aren't there. It's because of overtime. We've told you that from when you started this process.
Exactly right. I mean, a lot of this unfolded just as predicted. And, you know, there were naysayers at the time who said, oh, you know, it's just the typical pushback from, quote unquote, from industry.
Right.
Honestly, what I've been focused on here, Senator King, and State Senator Curtis King is our guest right now on the Farming Show. I'm Dylan Honkoop here on KGMI, talking about this issue of agricultural overtime and what it really means. I've been focused on, yeah, this is harmful to farming, but it's also harmful to the farm worker. Who, that is the person, that is the community this was supposed to help. And it seems that some people just are so mathematically challenged that they're not able to see that when someone doesn't have the bottom line to be able to stay in the black and pay overtime, they have two options. Either they pay the overtime and go out of business, which, as you're talking about, how many farms going out of business? You're talking about April Clayton testifying in that hearing. We had her on the program here talking about that heartbreak of them having to shut down. It's a heartbreaking story. Those folks are losing jobs then. How many workers lose jobs in that scenario? Okay, or the other option is what we're seeing happening, people's hours being limited so the farm is able to stay in the black. And each worker essentially is getting a smaller piece of the pie, which it's mind-boggling to me, Senator King, when we hear these activists talking about, you know, what's best for the worker, yet not listening to the very worker saying, this isn't working for us. It's clearly a political play. And I think that goes to what you're talking about with this issue with ESD needing to collect more info that they don't even need. There's a bigger political game going on here. And I've said it before, and some people thought I was a little bit over the top, but I think it is true that the farm worker, the people who farmers actually do care about as much as the activists say they don't, the farm worker is being used as a pawn in a bigger game here. And it's heartbreaking to watch it unfold.
Well, and I think you're exactly right. I mean, you have farm workers that are used to working 50, 60 hours a week. And if you think about that, if they're making $20 an hour, you know, at even at 50, you know, you're making $1,000, I believe it's $1,000 a week.
Yep.
So now all of a sudden you're only working 40, and now it goes to $800 a week. I mean, how are you going to make up that $200?
Well, you're going to get another job.
Well, this is the problem. We're forcing them, I believe, we're forcing them to look outside of farming.
Yep.
We suggested at one time that there in areas around the state that there be a clearinghouse. If this is what we're going to do, where a farm worker could call in and say, hey, I did my 40 hours at this farm. I want to work 20 more. And they could be sent to another farm to work another 20 hours or whatever hours they wanted to work, or they could break it up into 30 and 30. I mean, there are ways to coordinate this. I was told by Al and I that was a restraint of trade, that we couldn't do that kind of a thing. And I'm going, so, I mean, it's like, give me a break.
Can't think win about, for losing. I mean,
no, which about, yeah.
How
think about H-2A workers.
Yeah.
H-2A workers come into this country for one thing. That's to work.
Yep.
And now we're saying to them, well, you can only work 40 hours a week because I cannot afford to pay you $30 an hour or $32 an hour to do the work that you do. So what does this mean to them? I mean, they're used to working 60 hours a week. They want to work. They want to work 7 days a week because they want to make money so that they can send it back to their families when they go back. And that's what they live on all year long in whatever country they came from. But no, we're saying 40 hours a week, and that's what they're going to get. And so then how many HQA workers are going to want to come to the state of Washington when there are other states where they can work in that yeah. don't have ag overtime, that they can work all the hours they want? They don't want to be sitting around all weekend long waiting for Monday to come so that they can go put in their 40 hours. I mean, the whole thing is just unbelievable what we have done to the agricultural community. And I would tell you, over the last 5 years, it's been nonstop going after the farming community in this state. And I don't see it slowing down. That's what concerns me. Because we're going to end up with mega farming corporations providing all of us the things that we want, the fruits and vegetables that we want to partake of.
Well, and honestly, there probably will be just some things that we don't grow, at least not as much anymore, because they're too labor intensive because of all of this pressure. I mean, there are certain crops that are going to fade away. Some of that stuff has already started to happen. And what you're talking about, Senator King, is exactly why I'm saying family farming is in crisis here in Washington State. I recognize that Tom Vilsack, Agriculture Secretary, said that at the federal level recently in his comments about the new ag census numbers. I'd say it's that times another factor of of intensity here in Washington. It is it's that much worse here, as you're explaining. And again, all these things that we're talking about, particularly with labor, are all done under the guise of trying to help workers, yet it's not helping workers, as you've described, as we've talked about here. One of the signs that I see, at least the conversation is beginning to change, and you mentioned this earlier, is Senator Kaiser was one of the stalwarts against this whole idea, remains against this whole idea of allowing flexibility for workers to be able to work more hours at certain times of the year, as you had proposed with your bill 5476, Senate Bill 5476, which now is entirely dead, and I hope new efforts come up and move forward to bring some kind of relief in some way, shape, or form for farmers and farm workers on this. But Senator Kaiser, your colleague on that labor committee in the state Senate, is dead set against this. Clearly, her background is labor. The labor movement, a 40-hour work week is a basic tenet to them. It's darn near a religion, from my perspective on it. Facts be damned. Don't listen to what this is actually doing to people. It has to be. It's a matter of human rights. Never mind if people are making less money because of it. So she has this background, but she had been so opposed to any of this. And last session, not this past one, but the year before, in 23, had basically suggested and alluded to this belief that farm workers had been misinformed, and that's why they didn't understand about overtime and how it was working. Of course, there was blowback from that. Now she is admitting in a piece by Crosscut a little bit earlier this year, right after some of these meetings. She said there is a legitimate concern about the economic viability of the state's agricultural industry, particularly small family farms. Quote, we need to address that, she said. I see that as progress, that she's at least acknowledging that there is a problem, and folks of her bent are seeing that there is an issue here. But then she continues, she says, but we're not going to do it on the back of farm workers. I don't know about you, Senator King, but I reacted to that saying, you don't want to do it on the backs of the farm workers, yet you won't listen to what the farm workers themselves want, what they're rallying for.
Yep, there were rallies around the state, particularly on the east side of the state. I mean, they had upwards of 500 farm workers at some rallies. I mean, they want to work, and we won't let them, because the family farm cannot afford to pay time and a half. It's as simple as that. And they don't want to recognize that fact. You know, part of their answer was, well, let's let everybody else in the state through the use of taxation. We'll use the tax money to help subsidize our family farms to pay the overtime. I don't think that's the answer either. We have gone after ag. It started with going after the dairies and our not so Supreme Court and the ruling they made on dairies. And the audacity for them to say that the not so Supreme Court to say that those dairies, even though they did exactly what the law said, had to go back for 3 years and pay retroactive overtime to anybody that worked over 40 hours a week. And I would tell you, we had hearings that year and dairy after dairy came to us and said, you do this to us and we will be out of business.
Yep.
And one dairy, as I recall, had 300 employees. And the gentleman that came and testified was a Hispanic gentleman. He said, I've worked at this dairy in high school. I worked at this dairy and I started to go to WSU because of the money I made at that dairy, helped me pay for my education. I worked there during the summer to pay for my formal education at WSU. I've graduated. I am now the HR director for that very same dairy. We have 300 employees. We cannot afford to pay 3 years of retroactive overtime. And if you force this on us, we will be out of business and those 300 employees will not have a job. Everybody on the committee heard that.
Yep, that's exactly right.
They didn't care.
That was Miguel Navarrete, who I've had on my podcast talking about that and sharing his story. That's exactly right. And that's exactly what he said. And who is going to start paying attention to what the workers themselves actually have to say and want versus what a political movement is going to tell workers what they think is best for them rather than listening? State Senator Curtis King with us on the Farming Show this morning. Senator, we're just have less than 30 seconds left. What's the political future for this? Is this going to continue to be an issue, or am I off base in feeling any level of optimism here?
Well, I'm up for re-election, and they're playing games with that, but that's a whole different story. But if I'm back, I can guarantee you that bill will be dropped again. And we will make concerted efforts that it gets heard and see whether we can have some progress with it. Like I say, every other state that has ag overtime has seasonality much beyond where we wanted to take, yet we're still getting pushback. It's amazing. So,
State Senator Curtis King, we really appreciate you taking the time to check in with us here this morning on the Farming Show. And more importantly, we appreciate the good work that you've been doing, listening to farmers and listening to farm workers when many don't seem to want to do that or have the courage to do that when the answers aren't easy in Olympia. So we appreciate your great work on that. And we hope you have a great Saturday. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks for the opportunity. Good talking with you.
Now you can mow, dig, grade, haul, and more with the perfect solution for your property, a Branson tractor. Save your back and your wallet with one of our compact but powerful tractors here at Farmers Equipment Company. Stop by and choose from our full line of Bransons to take on your toughest tasks. With tractors from 19 to 55 horsepower, we have a Branson compact or utility tractor that is perfect for you. Want to use a rotary cutter to tame that tall brush on your property? You can do that. What about snagging a scoop from that pile of gravel to maintain your driveway free of potholes? You can do that too. Branson's 6-year warranty, along with our factory-trained technicians, will make sure your new tractor is always running great. Get the tractor you want and the peace of mind you need at Farmers Equipment Company. To learn more, visit us online at farmersequip.com or stop by our locations in Linden or Burlington today. Farmers Equipment Company, serving the Pacific Northwest for over 86 years.
The Lummi Bay Market at Exit 260 is where you'll find more in the store. You'll find more in the store because there's so much store. Almost 10,000 square feet. The Lummi Bay Market is where you'll find everything you need for on and off the road. You'll find the best value on gas and diesel, along with way more than you would expect out of a convenience store. There's a liquor department featuring a great selection of your favorite competitively priced spirits, wines, and mixers. And of course, you'll want to check out the huge selection of ice cold beer in their massive beer cave. Want to grab a quick bite for breakfast or lunch? Don't feel like cooking dinner? At the Lummi Bay Market, you'll find a great hot deli counter, including our brand new fried chicken, chicken tenders, and chicken wings with all the fixins. Make the Lummi Bay Market your first or last stop day for fuel, food, and more. The Lummi Bay Market, just off I-5 at Exit 260 on Rural Avenue. Open 24 hours, 7 days a week. Lummi Bay Market, where there's more in the store.
The latest local news and important topics of the day from the West Mechanical Studio.
Rest easy in a cool home this summer. Contact West Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical to add AC to your existing system for as little as $140 a month. Find them at westmechanical.net.
Get the latest news and information 24/7 with KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham. Streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com.
The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KGMI or the Cascade Radio Group.
Important event coming up this coming week at the Northwest Washington Fairgrounds. Are you ready to receive a court summons? Are you ready to be served? You're thinking, oh boy, what? Yeah, well, we've been talking a lot about this. You probably know where I'm going. I know this has been a topic of conversation earlier this week on KGMI Connects with Joe Tien. Folks talking about water rights adjudication. It's happening here in Whatcom County. We've been talking about it literally for years now on the show, and it's finally coming to pass that people will be sued by the state of Washington. That's what's happening, people are sued to basically be forced via the this lawsuit called adjudication, forced to prove their right to use the water that they have been using, essentially, or that they want to use. Are you prepared for this? And there's an event coming up on Wednesday of this coming week here in Linden, where we're broadcasting from this morning, called Protecting Your Water. And joining me right now, Fred Lickle is Executive Director of Whatcom Family Farmers. Fred, we at Whatcom Family Farmers, and by the way, did I mention that this is the farming show?
No, I don't believe you did.
Oh, okay, I kind of forgot about that. I'm Dylan Honkoop. For those who don't know me, Fred Lickle with us here. We're both going to be helping put this event together. Our whole crew will be there, and we have some great experts who will be on stage on Wednesday evening. And that's an important point that should be brought out right away. In the past, we did an event on this in the fall.
Correct. Yes.
Same kind of thing. There is some new information this time.
Yes.
Somewhat. I mean, the situation has evolved. So there will be some updates on that. If you went to the last one, it doesn't mean you can't come to this informational meeting. But there were lots of folks last time who couldn't make it because of the time of day. And so we're doing it in the evening this time.
Yes. Yeah, we're looking forward to an evening one. As Dylan said, we had a number of people that said, I can't make it. It was, I believe, in the early afternoon, and we just can't make that. And so they requested, you know, could we have another one? And that is actually what we're doing here. And as Dylan said, we do have some updates, as you mentioned, Dylan. Yeah, there was what Ecology has put out, what's known as a claim form. or a proposed claim form, a draft claim form. And we're going to be discussing how that looks because, again, it's just in draft form. But one of the experts is going to be talking about what is in this and what you need to do to be filling this very complicated 9 or 6 page form out, depending on what you choose to do.
This is the form that you'll have to fill out as a response, essentially.
To the loss, to being sued.
To getting this court summons in the mail. And apparently not everyone's going to get them at the same time, but it's going to start this summer sometime.
Yes, it'll most likely start this summer. It is our understanding that the adjudication will be filed. They're saying late April or early May. So we'll just say May because I know how government works on these types of things. Yeah. And then we're not certain yet what their timeline is going to be and whether they're going to do this in stages, whether it be different areas or different types of folks that are connected with this, whether it be farmers or single family homes or whatever it might be. But it will be coming out I would say most likely sometime this summer you will get that summons.
And aren't they going to do them in different phases too? Like some people get them at a certain time and then some people may get them later in the year?
That is our understanding. One of the things when you start talking to ecology, I think most of our listeners can understand, be clear. I don't think they completely understand everything that they are doing. And it's been a little bit of a challenge. A lot bit of a challenge to get actually what it is that they're planning on doing. And as we said, they get asked some questions and oftentimes they don't have the answers. So
that's kind of scary.
It is very scary, but it is the reality that we're facing. And that's why this event, just like the last one, is not some political rally to be against the adjudication. We know it's coming. Our goal here is for the folks out there to be educated because it's coming. And there are going to be some important things that you're going to need to do. And we find out there's a lot of folks that just don't know. And it's understandable why, because you practically need a PhD to understand some of this stuff. And so getting as much expertise as we can, as we continue to get people who call in or even drop by, as we did yesterday here at our office, help me, I don't know what to do. And so we're giving all the expertise that we possibly can. And that's what these folks are here for, is to answer those questions.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, that it isn't some political rally against adjudication. It is happening, even though some people I know have characterized the information as being anti-adjudication just because the facts aren't pleasant.
No.
And that's a tough spot for us to be in, advocating for the farming community. Yeah, we were opposed to this idea. Yes, we don't think it's the right way to be going about things. But if it is going to be happening, we need to know as a community what the heck is going on and what we should be doing. And we need to know the facts. Well, the reality is the facts just aren't the facts sound bad.
They are bad. You know, that's the reality. But as hard as we tried to get it to stop, it's going forward. And so we're trying to make the best of a bad situation here. And so we have folks working behind the scenes to try and alleviate some of these challenges. And you can imagine there are going to be challenges that are going to be asked and as we go along in the adjudication. But the reality is the adjudication is there, or it's here, I mean, and we have to prepare ourselves. Because if you don't do anything, that could be the worst thing that could happen, because there's going to be this line of water users. And if you aren't in the line, you could be out. And we don't out. And that is not a good place to be.
No, not at all. The event, special event coming up. And by the way, this is the Farming Show on KGMI. I'm Dylan Honkoop. He is Fred Lickle, Executive Director of Whatcom Family Farmers. And that's where you can find information, whatcomfamilyfarmers.org, about this event helping make sure you're prepared for this court case, this adjudication that is about to get underway. It's a water rights educational event, March 27th. So that's this coming week, FYI. That's Wednesday. It's 6:30 p.m. at the Northwest Washington Fairgrounds in the People's Bank Farm Pavilion. You know, the new building that they put together there, and the Farming for Life exhibit is in that, in part of that building as well, and lots of meetings happen in there. That's right where we'll be. It is important to note, Fred is nodding at me because he knows where this is going. It is important to note that you will not be able to park in the normal place back behind the Farm Pavilion. You'll have to park at the Mount Baker Rotary Building or the field next to it. Do I have that right?
You are correct, Dylan. And that, yeah, there, we can't park in our usual spot, but there is a very easy place to just walk right in there. It's just important to note, yeah, you can't go back there where we usually park for those sorts of events.
Which is, if for people who know the fairgrounds, normally you go in through what is gate 2, past the old open cattle barn, and around through where they milk the cattle, and then back to the backside, essentially between where the carnival is and this farm pavilion. Can't go back there this time. The fair has some stuff going on back there. They're using that space for other things. So plan on parking at the Mount Baker Rotary building or the field next to it. And we'll have people out there directing traffic and signs out that say, hey, don't go to the normal spot. Just FYI, again, 6:30 p.m. on this coming Wednesday evening. Should last about 2 hours-ish.
Yep.
I'm going to try to keep it moving because I'm supposed to be emceeing this thing.
That is correct.
Whether I can keep up with all the massive amounts of information that will be shared there. It was overwhelming to some folks last time.
Yes, it was.
When we had this meeting.
Yeah, and there's no doubt when you're getting a 9-page thing to fill out for each water right, by the way. That isn't just for all of your water rights. For those of you who have a number of different water rights, you have to fill out each one of these forms. So it isn't easy, but there again, that's what we're here to do, is try and help as much as we can to get that information out there. I also would want to point out that I think the folks wonder, well, what exactly is that we're doing to help things along? Well, one of the things that we've been promoting all along is this idea of, we're going to have to at some point sit down and have discussions about how to collaborate on solutions, because we're not going to get there. We're going to end up in an exhaustive legal process. We've talked about other places like the Yakima, where it took 42 years. And ours is more complicated than theirs, despite what ecology would like to say it's not. It most definitely is. So yeah, we are promoting, what does it look like to look for solutions? And so our last speaker group is going to be a speaker panel where we've got three different folks who have been involved in solutions in other areas who can bring us up to date on talk about what things could look like in a future where we talk about solutions. That doesn't mean that you can't do anything, because there's going to be some who say, well, if there's a collaborative settlement or something, I'm not going to have to bother to file. Oh no, this is a lawsuit. You still need to file. You still need to do this.
That's what I was just going to say. And Fred Lickle is our guest right now, Executive Director of Whatcom Family Farmers. I'm Dylan Honkoop with Save Family Farming here on The Farming Show on KGMI. While we as an organization, your organization, the organization I work for, which are joined at the hip, we oppose this idea of adjudication. We don't think it's a good idea. We don't think it's the right way to be dealing with the water management crisis that we have here in Whatcom County in the Nooksack River Basin. But, and we will continue to encourage and lobby for whatever we can, push for, you know, send people in the direction of solutions and working together in a collaborative community process rather than a court process. Even though we'll continue to push for that, doesn't mean that we think people should just ignore this court process. As much as we disagree with it, you got to play along with it or you're going to be in a bad shape.
That is for sure.
I'm trying to find, you know, FCC-approved ways of and non-crude ways of saying that what you're going to be if you ignore this lawsuit, don't file the paperwork, or don't file it correctly. Yeah, not good.
Right. Now, I don't believe we mentioned it, even though we've said it before. It's important to note that once this it gets filed and you receive your summons, you have 1 year to put this in. So it's not like, oh, no, I've got 30 days. This isn't good. There's going to be a lot of people that need a lot of work on this. But you do have 1 year to put in your claim. And then after that 1 year is up, you have another 3 years to prove that you're actually using the water that you said. So it's not like it's happening in 60 days. But as I said, there's going to be a lot of people asking a lot of questions. It is very clear to us the Department of Ecology, despite their assurances otherwise, really doesn't have a very solid grasp on this from what we can tell. And we would, we're going to need to be working hard on educating folks on what is the right direction to go.
Well, and the more people that do this correctly, the better it is for everyone, right?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
The more people that don't do it correctly, more water could be
lost
essentially, that people don't have access to
anymore. If you don't fill it out right, it's one of those things. Like I got a message back on when I voted for the primary that I'd forgotten to check a box for if I was voting for R or D, and my vote could have been lost. And we have a similar situation here, right? You could be out of luck.
Well, we had Bill Clark, water rights attorney, who's going to be presenting on Wednesday night. Yep. We had him on the program before the last event that we did in the fall, and that was an important note that he shared then, and I think everyone should keep thinking about. If you do nothing, you will lose your water rights. If you have any water rights already, you may say, all my paperwork is in order, all my rights are current, and we're doing everything by the book, I's dotted, T's crossed. If that's your situation, and you don't file this, or, you just ignore this court summons saying, well, I have the water rights already, which, I've heard from some people who've said, well, if I'm all copacetic, I can just let this go, right? No, you will lose your water access scenario.
One of the things that confuses folks is that ecology talks about exempt wells and exempt statutes, and there is somehow this understanding from folks if they hear the word exempt, whether that be exempt for stock watering uses or exempt for some of these smaller rural residents, that does not mean you're exempt from the adjudication. It meant you were exempt from getting a permit.
Also doesn't mean you're exempt from having a water right. That is still a water right.
Absolutely correct. And so it is going to be very important that you file this paperwork, because you are not exempt from the adjudication. You will still need to be part of the list and on the line, in the line of junior to senior water rights.
Well, as I said to Jay Chenault, who's one of the experts that we've been working with on this, it was actually in some ways calming and reassuring to me at that last event. I know for a lot of people it was overwhelming, because they hadn't yet really confronted the specter of detail that they would need to defend their water right. But because I guess I've been around our offices here talking about this, hearing about this, I knew how bad it could be. It was. But hearing from these experts like Andy Dunn and some of the others that will be on stage, Jay can't be with us, but his colleague Katie will be there. Tyson can't be with us, but his colleague Jill will be there talking through, this is how you work through the ecology form. This is how you deal with this website. This is how you deal with this legal issue. There is a pattern. There is a process to work through, and there are people who know how to do it. And to me, that was reassuring. And I think for anyone, thinking about coming to this meeting, that's what you can get out of this, too, is a kind of a roadmap for how you can figure out how to file and do things correctly.
Yes.
Via the education that happens on Wednesday night.
Yeah. It gives you that start, not just how I file it correctly, but once it starts coming to how do I prove the water that I'm using That I'm getting at the tools to do that. And that's important too.
How do I go back to that historical water use from, you know, some people are talking about going back to the 70s, 60s, 50s, even old aerial photographs from back in those eras to prove different things of water use. That's how detailed this all is. But there is a way to go about it, and they can help reassure you and send you in the right direction at this event, Protecting Your Water. It is Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday night at the Northwest Washington Fairgrounds in Linden, the People's Bank Farm Pavilion. Again, a note to you, don't plan on parking around the backside of that building like normal. You're going to have to park over at the Mount Baker Rotary building on the corner over by Fairway Center. And there'll be people directing traffic over there and directing you where you can walk into the building. This is an important event. Lots of folks are planning to be there, plan to see you there. Again, I'm Dylan Honkoop with Whatcom Family Farmers. Been talking with Fred Lickle, executive director here at Whatcom Family Farmers. Fred, thanks for your time. And here we go. We'll see everybody on Wednesday.
Thank you, Dylan. See you then.